Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, esteemed listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we aim to address your inquiries, concerns, and questions regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. Our experts provide answers rooted in the teachings of the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Today, we will delve into the topic of instilling the significance of religious events, such as Muharram, in children. So stay tuned for valuable insights and guidance on this matter. Well, today in our studio, we have Professor Salman Nakavi to guide us more on the topic. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, Professor. So in the previous episode, we had been talking about what strategies could be involved to teach our children about the importance of religious events, and we explored on the topic of Muharram. Now, since we're talking about Muharram, towards the end of our discussion, we talked about the characters of Karbala, and there's a lot to learn from them. There's a lot to get inspired about them, and we should be taking care of age-appropriate content when it deals with the children, because when we share age-appropriate content, that's how they won't get bored. That's how they will feel like we're learning something from this particular majlis. Well, how can the stories of the characters of Karbala itself inspire and teach important values to children?
Yes, one of the unique things about Karbala is that you have a character for every age. There's a role model, there's an example for every age group. You can start with the people like Habib ibn Mazahir of a very old age, in the maybe 80s or even more than that, right down to the smallest age group, that is of the 6 months age of Ali Asghar. So for every age group, for ladies, for gents, for older people, for the youth, you have Ali Akbar, Hazrat Abbas, you have Qasim. For every age group, you have an example.
Right.
Bibi Zainab, Bibi Umm Kulsum, mothers, sisters, daughters, brothers, sons. For every age group, you have a character whom you can look upon to and learn from. So it's a beautiful combination of a whole family group which is there, and they have set out together on a common mission. It's not that the ladies, the women folk, have come just as companions, in the sense that they just had to be along with Imam Hussein. No, they were very well knew Imam Hussein had a purpose, had a mission, and they accompanied him to achieve that mission. So that is important, that we understand that our children and our families should realize that it's not that when we come out to commemorate Imam Hussein's sacrifice, or the sacrifice of any imam, or the holy prophets, whomever we talk about, it's not that we are just our duty is to remember them. It's not that's only one part of it. Yes, it is important that we have we love the Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
We show our love for them. We have to have mawaddah for them. Mawaddah is, as the Quran says, Allah Almighty has asked the Holy Prophet to ask only for one thing from his ummah, from his people, and that is the mawadda of the Ahlul Bayt. He is asked to, he is asked by Allah Almighty not to ask anything as a wage for his hard labor for the ummah apart from the mawadda of the Ahlul Bayt. One thing is required from the by the Holy Prophet, and that also according to the command of Allah Almighty, that I require only one thing from you, and that you have the mawadda of my family. And mawadda is not just loving the Ahlul Bayt; it is not just expressing that love by speaking for them and talking about them and expressing our feelings about them. That is just one part. More than that is to follow in their footsteps.
Right.
That is the highest level of mawadda.
Right.
And that comes to tawalli, that is following in their footsteps.
Right. Professor, we'll discuss more with you and dwell more into this topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. We are with Professor Sayyid Salman Lakhavi, and we're discussing the stories of the characters of Karbala, how they could inspire our children. Yes, Professor.
So even we were saying that number one, for those who are of a higher mature age, they should understand, our children should understand the concept of Imamate itself. That is the pivotal concept.
Right.
That is the most important thing.
Central thing.
Central thing. Imamate is not just some spiritual thing. Yes, it is spirituality. It is imams are rooted, their whole existence in this world is based, rooted in spirituality.
Right.
They belong to a higher class of existence. There's no doubt about it. Just as the Holy Prophet is, the Quran says about the Holy Prophet, yes, ana rajulun mislukum, I'm like you, but there's one difference I'm different. Apparently, I'm like you. Apparently, I have a body like you. I eat like you. I drink like you. I walk like you. I do everything like as you are human beings, but there's one difference. I'm of a level where I can communicate with Allah Almighty directly.
All right.
You, Hailiya, I'm of a capacity that I can communicate with Allah Almighty. You can't do that.
Right.
So this has to be understood, both aspects of Imamat. The spiritual concept, the aspect of Imamat has to be understood by our children, and the apparent implications which are there in society.
So you're trying to say that when we introduce the concept of Imamat to our children, we should be introducing it like it's not some kind of some fantasy story. They were also human beings, but they exhibited all those spiritual qualities which make them reach the highest spiritual proximities.
They're supposed to be followed. Of course, we can't become achieve that level.
Right.
But we need to lead, take their lead and follow their example. So this is very important. Our children, if we just emphasize the ritualistic aspect of this commemoration and this, whether it's Muharram or even days of joy like Ghadir,
right,
or
the birthdays of imams.
Imams, or the day like Mubahila,
right,
or Ghadir, or the
other
days,
Eids.
The birth anniversaries of the imams. It's not whether we're talking about our commitment to them. We're talking about our relationship with them. How do we connect with them? What role do they play in our daily lives? Our children should be from day one. It should be ingrained in their minds that they need, on one hand, to take the Holy Quran in their hands, and they need to cling on to the Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
This has to be imbibed from day one in the minds of our children, because that is the problem which we are facing today.
Right.
The Holy Prophet emphasized, stressed, beseeched his the thing. He said, I'm leaving you with two very precious things, the Holy Quran
and the Ahlul Bayt. Right.
You need to cling on to them. You need to clutch to them. So this has to be instilled in our children from day one.
Right.
And yes, these rituals are there just for that sake, that we are able to connect with our imams.
Right.
We need to connect. These rituals are there. These commemorations are there, so that we can connect with the imams, especially
right.
the imam of the age.
Right.
And we need to show that, express our love for them, express our commitment to them, and show them that we are ready to go along the path they did.
Right.
It's not that we have one aspect of our lives which is secular and the other aspect which is religious.
Right. Prof, so we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Sayyid Salman Naqvi, and we're discussing how the stories or the characters of Karbala could inspire our children. So are there any particular characters in the event of Karbala itself that could inspire our children, especially those in the teenage?
Yes, you have so much, so many examples. I mean, I would wonder what we would think about Ali Asghar alayhi salam, that he was of a so tender age, 6 months of age, and he supposedly, we think that he couldn't understand what's happening, but that is not the case. Even when some of our scholars speak about him, the way he threw himself out of the cradle, that as if he wanted to go into the battlefield.
Right.
It was an expression of his readiness and his commitment.
So that, and then a smile after that.
Exactly.
Taking that,
and even
some
exactly. Sometimes it is also related that he himself stood up on the hands of Imam Hussein to become the target of the arrow of
right.
of the tyrant and the cursed person Harmala. So starting from that very tender age, we find then the example of Hazrat Qasim, who is beseeching his uncle to allow him to practice and to carry out what his father had asked him to do and had ordered him to do and had written even in his will that you one day shall come and you will be faced with such a situation and you shouldn't remain behind.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a situation where we can
the children of Lady Zainab, salamu alayha,
exactly.
who are of very tender age.
So many children, youth are there who are, all of them are of a very tender age, and despite their tender age, they are ready to go out and to fight. And this also shows that all were the Ahlul Bayt. Yes, we talk about Islam as a religion of peace. No, it's yes, it is a religion of peace, but it is also a religion of war.
Right.
I mean, it's not that sometimes we say that, look,
A day and a night that complete the 24 hours. There's a bright side and always...
Exactly. No, I mean, there's when we talk about war, when we talk about... Yes, we say we did not spread Islam through the sword.
Right.
One of the very beautiful things, important things that we have to make our children understand. Sometimes they are faced with this issue, with this challenge. Muslims, they were always fighting. They was also always, using the sword. they were...
and there's also that Islamophobic content,
yes,
shared on
this occupying
media.
Lands, they were conquering lands, they were spreading Islam with the help of the sword. But that's not the case. But still, we should realize that even war against the enemies of Allah is something which is based on principles and based on ethics. We can talk about that later.
Right. So we have to make one thing very clear to our children, that whenever there's a warlike situation, especially to stand for Allah, we have the characters of Karbala, the children of Karbala show us the readiness, the obedience, and the commitment to Imam. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIP English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know?